And good morning, and welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. We're talking to you this morning on WILL AM, and we're also webcasting. We're on our website at willill.illinois.edu. So whichever way you're joining us, good morning and welcome to the show. As you think about what your ideal home might be, chances are it's probably different from your neighbors or the people who live across the street, but there are certain things that in their home everyone wants. You want security, you want good neighbors, you want a place for your kids to play, you want a place that you can take pride in. But for some people, it's a struggle just to find decent, affordable housing, rental housing for themselves and their families. This morning in this part of the show, we'll try to focus on the need for affordable housing in East Central Illinois, Champaign, Urbana, and Champaign County in particular. And we have two guests with us here in the studio, Kevin Jackson and Libby Tyler. Kevin Jackson is Director of Neighborhood Services for the City of Champaign, and Libby Tyler is Director of Community Development Services for the City of Urbana. She is also adjunct lecturer at the U of I in the Department of Urban and Regional Planning. And this is the first of a couple of shows that we'll be doing that will look at housing issues in Champaign and Vermilion County. Tomorrow morning on the show, we'll talk about public housing. And then tomorrow night, we have a television special that we'll be doing that'll be on WILL-TV and also AM. It's a roundtable discussion, and we'll have a number of guests from around our area here in East Central Illinois to talk about these issues. That's tomorrow night at 8 on WILL-TV. This morning, we will be happy to take questions, comments from people who are watching and listening. 333-9455 is the Champaign-Urbana number. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. Thank you both very much for being here. We appreciate it. And maybe just, if I know that in both of your offices that you do a lot of different things. Housing is one thing that you're kind of interested in. But I wonder, can you talk just specifically, and maybe I'll start with Kevin, and just talk a little bit within the Neighborhood Services Department of Champaign, what are the aspects of housing that you're particularly interested in?
Well, I think we're interested in all aspects of housing. There are things that we do directly by virtue of administering federal funds from the Department of Housing and Urban Development to support the preservation and sometimes the development of affordable housing in the community. Right now, I think principally the assistance that we offer is, for the most part, assistance to homeowners who have limited income and have a limited opportunity, therefore, to reinvest in their property. So we provide a variety of housing assistance programs to rehab housing, single-family homeownership housing, owner-occupied housing. And we do provide some assistance on a rental basis. And perhaps as we move forward in the conversation, we can talk a little bit more about that. We expect that, beyond providing the direct services through the federal funding that we get, that we also would be a leader and a collaborator amongst all the other housing services providers in the county, and particularly Champaign-Urbana. So we participate on a variety of task force that have a sort of a countywide purpose, the Regional Housing Task Force, obviously the Urbana-Champaign Consortium, and then the service providers for the homeless. So just, with that general perspective, I'll allow Libby to.
Yeah, I'm sure that you in Urbana, you're doing a lot of the same sorts of things, right?
Very similar. And one of the differences is in community development, we have a number of other divisions in addition to the grants management, which would be similar to what the housing focus is for neighborhood services in Champaign. We also have our planning and zoning division, building safety, and economic development. So in our one department, we deal with new housing construction, inspection of rental housing, some of the planning issues that we deal with in terms of projections for the future, and then, of course, our grants management, which includes the community development block grants and the home funds that come from the federal government.
You know, we certainly, we here on the show and elsewhere, there's been an awful lot of discussion about the problems that were caused by the mortgage crisis and then the banking collapse and what that meant for homeowners. And certainly that is indeed a crisis. But it strikes me is that there's another kind of housing crisis that maybe we don't hear quite so much about. And that has to do with this need for affordable housing. And particularly we're talking about good rental housing for families. If you take a look at our region, or specifically at Champaign County, and you ask this question, well, what's the pressing need? What's the most pressing need for housing here? How would you answer that question?
Well, I would zero in on the supply of affordable rental housing for the lowest income families in the community. Those folks who are you know, working service occupations, making minimum wage, you know, from a technical standpoint, you know, their income is somewhere around 40% of the median income and below. These are folks who are considered to be of very low income or extremely low income. And so there tends to be a shortage of in the supply of affordable housing for people making this amount of money in our community. And so I would think that that would be probably the principal need from a rental standpoint in terms of, you know, having an adequate supply of rental housing for those folks. There is a lack of emergency shelter here in the county. There is quite a bit of a resource for transitional housing from an emergency standpoint, but from an emergency, sheer emergency shelter standpoint, we do not have that in our community, particularly for families and individuals.
Yeah.
Libby, if you want to add to that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think our biggest needs are in the very low income rental housing, as well as some of the emergency shelter. And we do have a complicated market, however, because of the presence of the University of Illinois and the strong rental market there is locally for students. And I think that really tends to distort the availability of the rental housing and the actual rents.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have maybe not too bad a supply in terms of sheer number of units, but it's the rental rates and the quality of some of the units. So we have a mismatch between the need and the supply, and I think that's one of our particular challenges locally.
And this, I think this is a really important point to get across, and here I think we should do a tip of the hat to our partners and some of this work that we're doing, and that's CU Citizen Access. And there was an article in our newspaper just yesterday, and if you go to their website, there's a lot of good information there about housing statistics in Champaign County. And what comes through very clearly is that on one level, it's not necessarily a supply problem, because there is rental housing that's available. The problem is that rent has gone up significantly and people's incomes haven't gone up to match it. And that's really, really striking. And one of the things that you can see when you look at the census figures is that over the last 10 years, the rent's gone up 30%, but average household income has gone up about 20%.
Right. I like to respond to the supply issue, because I mentioned supply. And I think we're on the same page in terms of, you know, what is meant by a lack of supply. When you think about affordable housing, it's affordable to folks who are making, you know, 80% of median income and below. And it's also decent, safe, and sanitary. So to the extent that the market starts to be in such a condition where the rental rates are going up, by virtue of that, you are losing the availability of affordable housing. So in that sense, it becomes a supply issue. I mean, that was my perspective. But I think mm-hmm. we're on the same page in terms of what is meant by supply, and a mismatch of the rate between the rate and
right.
So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make sure I made that clarification,
yeah,
what
sure.
I meant about supply. Because there are two ways that you can deal with the issue. You can provide income supports to individuals, but you could also, from a policy standpoint, you could increase the supply of physical units that are actually affordable to the segment of the population in need. So.
Well, yeah, I would agree, and I think we have a need for upgrading units. But just to add to the challenge that David spelled out, we have a very large reduction in federal funding that we're facing. And in fact, just in the last 2 years, we've seen about a 30% reduction in our CDBG and home funds from the federal government. And these are the funds that we use locally to help assist people with rents and for transitional housing and for rental rehabilitation. So, you know, just when the challenge is so great because of the income levels dropping and increases in poverty locally, we have fewer resources to help meet the demand.
Mm. To what extent does the fact that and here primarily we're talking about the Champaign-Urbana-Rantoul area, I guess, the fact that we are a university community and we have students that have resources they can put into housing, people also can double up and triple up, so that might, in what way does that actually drive rents up?
It totally distorts the market. Mm-hmm. You know, I think students are great renters from the perspective of the landlord because, as you say, they have the disposable income, you know, from their parents or other support for the rents, and they can double, triple, quadruple up, and I think that makes it very hard for a lower income family to compete with that kind of market.
To what extent, though, is this also a supply problem in the sense that I'm sure that there are developers who would say that you can't build affordable housing and make money at it, and that that's the reason that the private sector just doesn't seem to be particularly interested in building that kind of housing?
Well, you need the subsidy.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying, where we've seen some cuts. One of the tools that's used locally are low-income housing tax credits, which are issued by the Illinois Housing Development Authority. Those are very competitive, mm-hmm. and that's something that both in Champaign and Urbana, we've sought successfully to get those tax credits. And those have helped many of the local projects that we have that are successful. Just in Urbana, we have Crystal View Townhomes, which was a redevelopment of Lakeside Terrace. You'll probably talk about that tomorrow morning, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. And Douglas Square in Champaign, mm-hmm. likewise.
Well, what about that? I mean, is it really possible for someone, if they decide that's a kind of a market they want to serve, that as a developer you can actually build or perhaps rehab existing housing and have that be profitable?
I agree with Libby. I think, the reality is that there would be some economic support that would be needed in order mm-hmm. to sustain an affordable housing development or at least even, you know, a mixture of units within a market rate development. There would need to be some type of economic support. And there are a variety of ways you can do that. The low-income housing tax credit program is one. Obviously, you know, we work together as part of a home consortium. The federal home dollars are used to support affordable rental housing. But like Libby said, you know, the funding at this point in time is very limited. So, you know, it's just one source and it's a limited source. If you're going to be producing affordable housing in partnership with a private developer, in order to really make the deals work, there's going to need to be some type of support from a subsidy, a government subsidy.
So government is going to have to be involved.
Government plays a role, yes.
Right. I have another point I'd like to make that's happened to us locally with the real estate bubble. I don't think that we've seen the same level of single-family homes in foreclosure as other communities have. But we did have an overheated real estate market, and we did have production of a lot of, you know, hundreds of units of new multifamily housing near campus, very high-quality housing. And what this means is you go off campus to some of the older apartments is that these projects and these properties were overvalued in recent years. And I think that's another challenge to turning around some of these properties, and that they were overvalued, so there's a heavy debt burden. And a lot of people during the bubble were interested in investing in multifamily housing. So the result is that we have a handful or maybe more than a handful of distressed properties or rental properties that are in desperate need of rehabilitation, and yet the owners don't have the resources. Mm-hmm. And as we've been saying, we have very limited resources locally to help rehabilitate those units. And that creates a huge challenge for our neighborhoods to be in their midst, to have an apartment complex, both for the residents and for the adjoining neighbors, to have an apartment complex that totally needs rehabilitation. And we're getting away from, it might be potentially it's affordable, but it's not decent. It's not safe. It's not sanitary. So that is a relatively new phenomenon for us locally.
Let me just very quickly introduce again our guests who are talking with Kevin Jackson. He's a Neighborhood Services Director for City of Champaign, and also Libby Tyler. She's Community Development Services Director for City of Urbana. We're talking about housing issues in Champaign and Urbana and in Champaign County. This is part of a series that we're doing in partnership with the folks at CU Citizen Access. A lot of information on this subject on their website. You can go there, cucitizenaccess.org, or you can go to our website, willconnect.org, and see some of the things that we're doing. We're doing a television show tomorrow night at 8 on WILL-TV. We'll also be online and on AM to discuss some of these issues with folks who deal with them in our region. So you might want to tune in for that. Questions are welcome, too. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. You can send us an email, by the way, will-talk@illinois.edu. And we have a caller here in Champaign. This is line number one. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for the program. Your guests and you have been speaking about supply and demand and framing it in that way. So I want to, and you've been talking mostly about supply side issues. And I want to talk a little about demand, and I already you've brought up the issue of the demand factor of the students and how that's strange and different. I want to bring up a different demand issue, which is the demand created by public agencies, whether from the Chicago area or elsewhere, who've, at least my understanding is, in recent decade have moved large numbers of people out of public housing in the Chicago area and elsewhere and moved them to central Illinois, including Champaign, and have created artificial demand in a sense, or let me say manipulated demand by moving people into this market and therefore changing the whole demand dimension and therefore the whole demand supply balance.
All right. Well, I think maybe Libby, you can start, and we'll get a comment from both guests. But
yeah, excellent question, and I've heard that comment before. I think what you're referring to is in several recent years, there's been a de-intensification or a depopulation of your classic public housing. And so as public housing has been redeveloped, it's come at a lower density, and that may leave some people with the ability to move and seek other communities. I do think, though, that the other communities aren't explicitly, you know, sending residents to downstate or whatever. I think that we are we're a great community, and so I think people choose to live here, and that might be because of the university or because of the services or the availability of housing. So I think we have become somewhat of an attraction, and we are seeing locally more and more immigration of folks from larger cities. And I think that does add to our local demand. And one of the other indicators of that demand is the very, very large waiting list that the Housing Authority mm-hmm. has for Section 8 vouchers.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with that, what Libby just said. And, you know, in terms of the demand and isolating it as an issue of people who have formerly lived in public housing, I mean, I think it'd be very difficult to just do that. I think, you know, the issue of demand also arises with people who are in the workforce and that are working in service occupations and just making, a level of income that does not allow them to rent above or to access a market rate unit. And so we have to account for those people who are actually working in the service industry that are making below 30% of median income or making minimum wage, and there just aren't enough units for those folks. So,
can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
Is it true or is this a fiction that public government agencies, public housing agencies in the Chicago area explicitly or implicitly encouraged people to move out of the Chicago area and move into the central Illinois area using both incentives and other sorts of encouragements? I've read of this in various media. I don't know the extent of the truth of this. I know I've read of also, the migration of gangs from the central Chicago area as another factor that I've, various police agencies have talked about. So can you address the veracity of any of that, or is it all urban legend?
I think there's some urban legend aspect to it. I don't believe that there's agencies in Chicago that are explicitly sending clients or people to Champaign County. I do think there's some choice involved, and like I said, there has been a reduction of units, and you know, perhaps people are seeking a better lifestyle, more opportunities. So I think that there's some free agency involved here, but I don't believe that particular housing agencies are sending away their customers to our location.
Okay, I thank you. I've heard that somehow Danville especially has been, designated by various public agencies. I don't know if they were housing agencies or otherwise, but thank you for your information.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this a little bit more, because it is the case, as you pointed out, that there has been in recent years a significant shrinking in classic, what we think of as classic public housing, that is housing that was constructed by government and is operated by government. Is that simply that the existing stock was in poor condition and someone decided that it wasn't fit for people to live in, and so it got torn down, but then nothing was built to replace it?
I don't know if that...
Well...
Libby probably has a little more history than I have, but, you know, I don't know that that is, has been a issue here in Champaign County, per se, in terms of replacement of obsolete housing stock, or not the non-replacement of obsolete housing stock. You know, I know that there are some redevelopment activities occurring right now with the Housing Authority, with Joanne Dorsey and Dunbar Court, which will ultimately end up in an increase in the supply of affordable housing, and it will also result in this will be private development with some public subsidy. And so, you know, at least my history here, I haven't gathered that there has been this enormous diminishment of affordable housing units in the community. But Libby, maybe you want to address that too.
I think locally our housing authority has been very good about preserving the number of units, and they've been very creative about leveraging some of the redevelopment to create affordable units elsewhere. But the policy direction has been through several administrations to deconcentrate poverty and to redevelop public housing so that we can create communities of choice that people would actually choose to live in the redevelopments, and they would be mixed income. They wouldn't be 100% public housing units. And so our examples locally would be Douglas Square and Crystal View Townhomes. Mm. But we haven't seen, like in some communities where they've had high rises, for example, the high rise public housing that have been demolished, and we've seen that in Chicago and Indianapolis and St. Louis, and the replacement can't but be a fraction of what those high rises provided. Mm-hmm. Those were not quality housing choices for people. So I think the redevelopments are really, really phenomenal in terms of the design and the mix of incomes. And I think that we've seen a lot of positives in creating the communities of choice. The other focus has been on more scattered site housing so that your public housing might come in the form of vouchers that could transport to any neighborhood in a community. Mm-hmm. So I think these are positive directions for the government to be heading, and I think it's made a positive impact. We've had to work locally to make sure that the numbers still add up and we're not losing some of those very, very low income units.
Well, I guess maybe I was when I was talking about the shrinkage in public housing, I don't know that I was thinking specifically about Champaign and Urbana as I was thinking of as a national phenomenon that's happening. And I think that is true.
Yes.
But that also this points to something else. Has there been some sort of idea, some sort of consensus that rather than concentrating people all together in one place, that it would be better to through something like Section 8 to just say to people, well, we're gonna help you pay your rent. Here you go. Go and find a place that you would like to live, and if you can manage to afford it, you know, you can supplement. We'll supplement it. We'll kick some in. You're going to have to pay some. If you can find some place that you can live, you know, here you go. It's open to you.
We have a very robust Section 8 program locally, and I think there is oftentimes a misnomer that people will say, oh, those are Section 8 units. Well, the Section 8 are vouchers that transport with people, and they're available, really any neighborhood in a community. And they're really a great deal for a landlord, for example, because it provides a guaranteed rent support from the housing authority. For the renter, it's a great deal because it ensures a certain quality in the unit, that they have their own inspections and their own quality standards. So I think people often use the term Section 8 in a derogatory way, but it's actually been very beneficial both for the communities and for the recipients.
Well, does that, though, even with that assistance, are there still people who are going to have a hard time managing for what they can afford, what they can put in addition to what they get in assistance? Are there still a lot of people who are going to have a hard time finding someplace to live for what they can afford to pay?
Well, you have to get the voucher to start with, and there's hundreds of people who are on a waiting list to get the vouchers.
Yeah. The vouchers are designed to provide choice, an opportunity to, particularly from a locational standpoint, for people who have them to be able to move wherever they want to move to, wherever they perceive the quality of life to be. And that's a good thing. In terms of they're income sensitive, so, you know, as your income goes up, then you get less assistance, and as it goes down, you get more assistance. I think if there's going to be any limitation in terms of being able to access quality, affordable housing with a voucher, it's going to relate to the whether or not there are units available that meet the criteria of the program. And so to the extent that, you know, there may be a lack of units available that meet the criteria of decent, safe, and sanitary, then that may limit choice to some extent. You know, to what degree that's an issue here in Champaign County, you know, I can't account for that, but that could be an issue from time to time, that people who have vouchers may have a challenge finding a unit that they perceive to be decent, safe, and sanitary.
We need to take a real quick break here. We're talking about housing issues in Champaign and Vermilion counties with Kevin Jackson from the City of Champaign and Libby Tyler from City of Urbana. We'll talk some more after a short break. This is Focus.
WILL programs are made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store. Strawberry Fields offers natural vitamins, health and beauty products, household cleaning products, pet foods, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating. Strawberry Fields on Springfield Avenue in Urbana.
This is Focus, our morning talk show. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're here weekday mornings from 10 until noon with 10 different topics every week. And this week, we're devoting a couple of shows to talking about housing issues in our area here in East Central Illinois. That's what we're doing in this hour. We'll also talk more specifically about affordable and public housing in Champaign and Vermilion counties tomorrow morning in the 11 o'clock hour. And we will have Ed Bland, who is Executive Director of the Champaign Housing Authority, Greg Hillary, the executive director of the Danville Housing Authority, and also Gloria Thompson Brown. She's a residential coordinator for a Green Meadows housing complex. She's also the CEO and president of the Danville Human Relations Commission. And then tomorrow night on WILL-TV, and we'll also be online and on AM, we'll have a roundtable discussion trying to get into some of these issues in some greater depth with a number of people from around our region who are involved in studying and trying to meet this particular need. And there'll be a number of guests, including a fellow from Danville who's actually been involved in doing some really interesting work rehabbing existing buildings and trying to create affordable housing. So one of the things that says is, yeah, it is actually possible for the private sector to rise up and meet a need like that. So that will be tomorrow morning on tomorrow or tomorrow evening on WILL-TV. More on this issue, by the way, available on our website if you go to willconnect.org or go to cucitizenaccess.org. And I really want to, again, thank Pam Dempsey and the folks at Citizen Access for working with us to develop some of this programming and particularly the TV show that we'll do tomorrow night. Here in studio in this hour of Focus, we have two guests, Kevin Jackson and Libby Tyler. Kevin is Neighborhood Services Director for City of Champaign, and Libby is the Community Development Services Director for City of Urbana. And we're trying to talk about the issue of affordable housing in Champaign and Urbana, Champaign County. We have a couple of callers here ready to go. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. You can also send us an email if you like, will-talk@illinois.edu. Here are our callers. We have two ready to go, starting off with Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I'm sure your work is really helpful at the local level here, but I'm wondering if you'd address two things. One is like that, I don't know, maybe you mentioned this earlier, but of course, at the bottom end of the spectrum of people here are homeless, so they have no place at all. And at the lower level of what we're talking about, affordable housing, it occurs to me that, like, if you had a living minimum wage, how would you speculate on what that might do? I know it's utopian, but if people were making 40 hours a week in some of those trades and could afford better housing, that would make an incentive for better housing all along the stream, I would think. Maybe you just talk about that. Thank you.
All right. I don't know. Is that something that you feel that you can talk about?
The question, if I understand the question is about if there was some type of policy on a living wage.
How would that help? Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, I don't, you know, there are communities that do have living wage policies in place. I haven't studied that issue in depth. My assumption is that if people are making more money, obviously, they're going to have greater opportunity to access affordable housing that's decent, safe, and sanitary. So just from an experiential standpoint, I have not had any experience with that policy in particular.
Let me ask a question this way, I guess, just because we keep using the term affordable.
Sure.
And I guess the question is, well, what exactly does that mean? How does one, if you assume that the general guideline is that one shouldn't spend more than 30% of your income on your housing.
That's correct.
How, and do we have people here we're talking about who actually are spending 30% or having spent more than 30% of their income on housing?
Yes, we do have people in the community that are spending more than 30% of their income on housing. Some people in the community are spending, greater than 50% or greater of their income on housing. From time to time there are questions about, whether people are choosing cost burden versus just having to submit to cost burden by not having access to affordable housing. Mm-hmm. Those are issues that come up commonly. But, we do have quite a few people in the community who are actually cost burden.
Yeah, and I think the 30% is a good rule of thumb mm-hmm. for both rent or mortgage payments. I think that's still a very good rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have some other callers. Let's go to Urbana next, line number two. Hello.
Yes. I may have missed this earlier in the program, but is a landlord required by law to accept an applicant that's on Section 8?
Go ahead. Well, I think we'll have more discussion probably tomorrow because we'll have the Housing Authority on the program. I know that in Urbana, a landlord is prohibited from discriminating on the basis of source of income. On the other hand, units need to be within the program. So they need to meet the qualifications of Section 8 housing with the Housing Authority.
What if the landlord doesn't want to be in that program?
That is, as I understand it, that is not a requirement.
That is not a, right.
Yeah.
Well, then the other question is, does the landlord have any control over the property at that point? What if the landlord doesn't approve of what this the tenant, the way they're treating the property? Can they interface with the tenant at all, or is it completely
yes.
been taken over by the agency that can only deal with it?
No, they're still in charge of the unit, and what Section 8 gives them is a guaranteed rent, and it's really more like the source of the funds that the tenant pays the rent with. But the landlord is still in charge of the unit. However, the landlord needs to meet those quality standards that Section 8 has, and there's regular inspections, but
What about just the standards of behavior of the tenant, though? You know, you're looking at it just from one point of view. What about the landlord is trying to keep up the quality of their property, and you got a person that's on this program who just doesn't know how to take care of the property, doesn't care, and they feel they're sheltered by the government program, and they don't have to listen to the landlord anymore. So, I mean, you're looking at it from one point of view, but you need to also look at it from the point of view of the landlord trying to protect the quality of their property. When you get somebody in there that starts trashing the place, what can the landlord do at this point?
I think I'll just be reiterating what Libby said, in that the tenant who has a voucher is just like a tenant without a voucher in terms of how the landlord can address issues that arise with any tenant in their community. The voucher is just a income support for the person who qualifies for the program. It's so that the landlord is not limited in taking any action that he or she would take.
You're saying that this program doesn't put a shroud around the tenant to keep them from paying attention to the rules of the landlord on regard to maintaining the property.
That is correct.
Well, that's a good thing to assure landlords that's the situation, because there's a lot of apprehension involved that they just completely lose control of the property if they take a tenant that's on this program.
Well, it sounds like that's not true. And also, just as one further point, it is still the case, if you're going to rent under this program, that you may also have to come up with security deposit as well. So that could be, again, another burden.
Right.
So maybe you qualify and you find some place that you can live, but you also have to pay security deposit. There may be additional amounts of money that you're going to have to come up with. It's going to be one more extra thing that you're going to have to do.
Yeah. And comply with the lease provisions, you could have provisions in the lease to ensure quality of the unit and the tenant behavior, and that wouldn't change.
Okay. Other calls, we do have some others, and let's go next to line number one, and this is also someone in Urbana. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
The question was raised about living wage. And in the late 80s and early 90s, I was a co-coordinator of a living wage campaign locally. And the most that we could do was get the city of Urbana and the county to agree to a living wage provision for their own employees. Champaign wouldn't go along at all. What we wanted to do was also to get that to benefit people working for firms that contracted with the cities and the counties. So if they contracted locally, then the employees of places up to a certain number, I think we had above 10 employees, would have to comply with it. None of the governmental units went along with that, and it certainly would affect people in the service, would have affected people in the service industries. So we were not successful. The other thing I want to raise is the issue of felony convictions, and that is the difficulty of people finding housing. We've got, you know, more people than ever. Over 2 million people are in prisons in the United States, and the sentences are long, but they do get out, most of them, at some point. And I wonder if you could speak to the difficulty of those people benefiting from public housing, benefiting from Section 8, et cetera. Thank you very much.
Well, can you do that?
I'll just say I don't want to speak for the Housing Authority because they have some very specific policies as it relates to criminal history and backgrounds and how it works with admission into their programs. And so I know you're going to have Mr. Bland on tomorrow, so he'll be able to address that question specifically. Okay. I don't know, Libby, if you have.
Yeah, I agree. They do have very specific rules that they need to comply with, and I do think it is a special challenge for people being released from our system to find housing. The city of Urbana has some protections, and they are controversial, but that's part of our human relations ordinance that would provide some human rights protections for people with those convictions.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll remind folks who are listening that tomorrow morning in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk more specifically about public housing, and we will have here in studio with us the executive director of the Champaign Housing Authority, Edward Bland, and also Greg Hillary. He's the executive director of the Danville Housing Authority. So we can, I'm sure, get more specific answers to that questions from those folks who deal with this in a more detailed and intimate way. This morning in this hour of the show, we have two guests here in the studio with us. Kevin Jackson, he's the Neighborhood Services Director for City of Urbana, and also Libby Tyler, Community Development Services Director for City of Urbana. Did I say you were from Urbana? No. Let me try that again. Kevin is from Champaign, right? Neighborhood Services Director for Champaign. Libby is Community Development Services Director for Urbana. And we're pleased to have them here. We're talking about housing issues, particularly the need for affordable housing here in our area. We're here at WILO. We're also online, will.illinois.edu. Questions are welcome. Again, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Yeah, you want to make a point?
I know we've been talking a lot about public housing and Section 8 and affordable rental, and I did want to mention that both cities have a number of programs that help people with affordable owner-occupied housing. We do have a very good stock in our older neighborhoods in particular, and we have programs to help people with rehabilitation of those homes. And the purpose of that is to help keep people in their homes and to improve the neighborhoods. So I think that's something that you'll see in both communities, very large portions of the community that have had a great effect over the years for these rehabilitation programs. Also, upkeep of the neighborhoods. We have small grant programs for emergency repairs, for access grants for handicapped accessibility, and for our seniors. So these are all income-qualified programs, and I think cumulatively over the years they've made a huge difference. We've also had some other successful owner-occupied affordable housing programs, both by the city and by our community housing development organizations. Some examples of those are the Homestead Corporation, which is very active locally, Habitat for Humanity, and Ecolab would be a third organization. And these and other organizations have produced hundreds of units that are affordable for those who are able to own a home. And I think they've had just a great impact locally. So I wanted to mention those programs.
This is something actually that I think is interesting because, when you look at some of the statistics that come out of the census about housing, one of the things that they find is that during this period that we're talking about, this period between 2000 and 2010, that vacant housing units in Champaign and Vermilion counties increased 43%. But I'm interested now, does that mean formerly owner-occupied housing? Does that mean an apartment? What are we really talking about here when we talk about this increase in the vacancy rate?
Well, I think it would be good to see statistics for both broken down. And my opinion is that we had too low of a vacancy rate previously, artificially low. I think that you want to have at least probably 4% just to allow for turnover. And we had a very tight market when I moved here some 20 years ago, and I think it was still relatively tight 10 years ago. But we've had production of many hundreds of units in the last 10 years. And so now we have a healthier vacancy rate, maybe a little too high for some of the owners, but I think that will regulate. And I think that you can just look in the campus town area and see some of the very large student housing developments that have been built and think about all the students that are living closer to campus. That's a good thing, but maybe that has increased the vacancy rates for those apartments further from campus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to another caller here. This is somebody in Urbana on our line number one. Hello.
I wanted to speak to another issue that's been much in the news that also affects people's need for housing and their relative financial stability, and that is having unplanned pregnancies, especially if you are financially challenged. So many people are out of work. So many people are at risk of, I mean, it costs, having a child when you're not able to deal with it is not a good thing. And here we have major candidates for office being anti-Planned Parenthood and anti-family planning and a whole major religious institution that's anti-family planning. And we need to think about and stand up and say, hey, this is affecting all kinds of people, and who knows when we ourselves are going to be in a situation where we need help to prevent a pregnancy until we can adequately care for a child. Having more children increases the need for space in apartments, and it's my understanding is it's harder for families to find adequate rental units. And the bigger they are, the more they cost. Any thoughts?
Yeah. Any thoughts?
No, I think, you know, it's important to ensure that we don't see discrimination on the type of tenant, whether it's family, whether there's children. You know, there may be some senior units that can do that, but otherwise we'd like to see that continue in Urbana. And I think there is an increasing need for another type of housing we haven't talked about, which is supportive housing.
Yeah, I agree. And that last point in particular, supportive housing or support services, I think, are a part of the affordable housing equation. Also, as part of the support services, those types of services that empower people economically, particularly now and with the economy being the way that it is, that you cannot talk about affordable housing without talking about the types of services that are needed to help people become increasingly more self-sufficient. Even those people who are actually occupying affordable housing, as they increase their income, then they're able to move up and require less support, which provides opportunity for others to get help. So I think the supportive services is something that has to be talked about as you talk about affordable housing, workforce development as well.
You were talking about people, either seniors or people who have disabilities. That's
definitely a part of it. I think that's absolutely a part of it. That's essential. But beyond people with disabilities, I think people who are struggling in the economy, needing workforce development sort of training and access to jobs, higher paying jobs, and so forth. If those type of support services are available to people and they're able to achieve greater self-sufficiency, then obviously they're going to do better in the housing market, which creates more opportunity for those who are below them economically.
Yeah. You know, it was some years ago, I think we talked here about the issue of the need for a particular kind of housing for single individuals. People particularly who were trying to transition from homelessness and dealing with a lot of problems to some kind of self-sufficiency. And I think there was an effort, I think, to provide, particularly in Urbana, to create something like that. Although at the time we also talked about the need for rental, for quality rental places for people with families. But just to go back to this issue of the single individual, how well is that? And again, and single individuals who are going to have a hard time paying the rent. How are we addressing that? Or are we addressing that?
We have a very successful development in Urbana. It's by Homestead Corporation, and it's on Grigg Street. And it's a single-room occupancy, SRO, for people such as you've mentioned. And I think that's been a great success. We'd love to see more similarly successful developments. I think there is a need. There, again, you would need some significant government subsidy. And we are looking at trying to attain some of those funds for what we're calling permanent supportive housing from the state. In fact, Champaign and Urbana are working together with some local agencies to see if we can obtain additional funds, because we think there is more demand than supply in that area. And there is a need both for the supportive housing, but also what we call transitional housing. And the city itself has 5 units of transitional housing that we have to help people prevent homelessness. And these are specifically for women with children. And one of the things that we haven't seen maybe enough of is transitional housing for families, for whole families. Yeah. That was a need that was identified in our housing demand study.
You know, we're at the point here, I'm really sorry we have a caller that I can't take, and there are a number of other issues we want to get into, but for right now, I think we're going to have to stop. But I also want to mention that we'll have some more conversation tomorrow morning on the program, specifically about public housing, that in our 11 o'clock hour. Tomorrow night at 8 on WILL-TV, we'll have a live show in our studio with a number of people dealing with housing issues, and I'm sure we'll get back to some of these things. And then we're also planning a program a little bit later in April to talk specifically about homelessness and how we're trying to respond to that issue. So we'll have a number of shows. Look for information on our website, willconnect.org. Also, you can go to cucitizenaccess.org. But for right now, we have to say thanks to our guest, Kevin Jackson. He's Neighborhood Services Director for Champaign. Thank you. And Libby Tyler, Community Development Services Director for City of Urbana. Thank you both very much for being here.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.